Returning this evening to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and our text is verse 5 this evening. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. The title of our message is How Christians Are Tempted. Little background quickly. The Apostle Paul only stayed three Lord's days, three Sabbaths in the city of Thessalonica. But that was enough time for God to use him, Silas, and Timothy in establishing a formidable group of believers in that city. Paul left the city abruptly because of a riot, an uproar, leaving behind Silas and Timothy, who later joined him. The book of Acts, chapter 17, supplies us with some historical information about the beginning of this church. As a matter of fact, we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 13 and 14. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. This was after they had just finished their work in Thessalonica. But you see the pursuit of the persecutors towards Paul and his colleagues. But sometime later, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy again to this place to know how the brethren fared in light of these prevailing struggles that they were having. And you know, the Thessalonian church was a church that was under much persecution. But I want to share this topical message from the context showing how Christians are tempted or attacked. We saw some time ago in Mark's gospel how faith is tested through the storms of life. I hope you remember that. But here we will consider how Christians are tempted. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, and this is the second time the apostle said these words, when I could no longer endure, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Every minister often ponder if their labor is in vain. But the Bible encourages us that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes what you and I deem as success don't be success. And sometimes what you and I deem as failure is success. Because God's work is never in vain. And he will accomplish his purposes in the lives of those who heard the gospel. Always remember that, Nigel. Your labor is not in vain. You may think so, but it is not in vain. But Paul was concerned for this church there in this local city. But there's hardly a Christian today who would say to another Christian how they're tempted. You would never find that kind of intimacy in church brethren. You know, brother, I am being tempted with this particular sin. You wouldn't hear people talking about that. But Paul knew that these ones were tempted. And the Lord knows that we are tempted. All men are tempted to sin. All. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Some of us may even tempt Christ by going after that which we shouldn't go after. We put God to the test. And 1 Corinthians 10 warns, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And you can remember Numbers 21 very well. And the people tempted Christ. They wanted meat. Christians are tempted in various ways today. And the apostle indicates this in verse 5. Out of concern, a messenger was sent. But how are Christians tempted today? Well, first, Christians are tempted by Satan himself. Paul said, for this cause I am sending to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. For what cause is Paul referring to? What is this cause? Well, to understand what cause Paul is speaking about, you would have to go back to the first four verses of the chapter, in chapter 3, where we read, wherefore, when we could no longer endure, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. And that's why he says, and for this cause, I am sending Timothy. I want you to notice carefully something about this text that I have just read. The qualifications of a man that is sent to this location. We're told, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. These dynamics ought to be seen in any man that is being sent to a missionary endeavor. Notice carefully, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer. Some men think that because they fail in their local church that they are candidates for the mission field. I'm doing a very bad job in my local church. I can't seem to get through to people. Maybe I should go on the mission field. That is a very bad choice to make. You always say, I remember Gideon stood here and said, well, I guess he was referring to me, but I don't know why he said it. Don't send us anybody. Send your best. And he was correct in a way, because people have the idea, oh, I'm going to send him because he's no use to the church. Not here with Timothy. As a matter of fact, Paul said so many wonderful things about Timothy. And here we are seeing that he was being sent to the church of Thessalonica. But Satan tempts us. One of the apparatuses employed is affliction, persecution. This was the cause that Paul is alluding to. And this is why Timothy was sent to know the faith of the disciples, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter, who's he? The apostle says, lest by some means. It tells me that there are many different means used by Satan to tempt. He's called the tempter. Remember Matthew 4, verse 3, when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, the Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan himself tempted Christ in the wilderness. The wilderness can be a literal place, or it can simply refer to the world in which we live. The wilderness, the world, is Satan's domain. That's where he tempts us, in the world, in the wilderness. We don't know how the tempter came. He doesn't come in person, since he's a spirit, as we learn in some of our Tuesday evening Bible studies. He's a spirit being. Satan is called the god of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air. The tempter. The tempter can prompt us in our hearts, in our minds. That's how he works. And that's why it is important to hide God's word in your heart. To know it sufficient enough to combat the evil thoughts that come to your mind. Satan likes to remind us in our minds about our sins of the past. You need to say, get lost, for he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Depart. This is what God said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why do you think that Christians should commit scripture to memory? Because Satan attacks the mind. Doesn't come in person. We're told in Acts 5, verse 3, Ananias, you remember? Peter said to him, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Satan does not use only affliction. He influences the mind. He cannot fill the heart of a believer, because the believer is a true child of God. He has the Spirit of God. But he certainly can be, he can influence our thoughts and cause us to act contrary his word. You remember Judas? The Bible says in Luke 22, verse 3 and 4, then entered Satan into Judas. How did he do that? Because he is a spirit. You could imagine a person entering into another person? It's impossible. He entered into Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Satan is powerful. He enters the mind. How is it that Satan entered into Judas' heart and not the other 11? Oh, very obvious. It is because when a person does not have the Savior, they are easy prey for Satan to use, to enter, to control. And a lot of them are here. In the life of a Christian, Jesus has already bound, limited Satan, that he cannot control the child of God. Revelation 21 and 2. Don't listen to people. Understand the Word of God. That's all we have. That's where we get our knowledge. That's where we claim the promises, the Word of God. That's how we defeat Satan, the Word of God. If I didn't have it, I probably would have been somewhere else. Apostle says, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. Now what means does he use to tempt you? These words imply that there are many ways, many means that the tempter employs. We are different. Our wants and desires are different, and the tempter knows them better than we know them. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's not all-knowing. But you hear what he's called? Wise, crafty, subtle. And you ain't no match for Satan. It took heaven's best to defeat him. Not earth's best. Heaven's best. Why am I studying this? Well, I came to it, and Colin rightly said, we did a whole series of this book already. Another way where Satan himself used means is circumstance. Certain circumstances often lead Christians into temptation contrary to the Lord's will. We are living in a current circumstance. And I often say some professing Christians love it this way. 2 years now, some Christians and even met in a church house. I don't know about this electronic church and this electronic preacher. I would be a nettle in front of a monitor speaking to people. And as we're telling Brother Offney, the pandemic would show the quality of Christians we are. And the quality of Christians that are in churches today. Thank God for some of you. You send encouragement. Thank you, I receive. I listen. But what about the rest? What are they listening to? So Charles called her there and said she listened to Brother James and she listened to us this morning. She's all the way over there. But some are right here. And they don't listen. The tempter works. Use circumstances. Use the circumstance of our Lord's hunger to tempt him into turning stone into bread. You know, once a guy said to me, and I don't want to use any continent or any name because you never know who might hear. He said, you know, because of our poverty, we are very poor people. So you should understand why we have to steal. Why we have to take. I was fussing with this brother about taking stuff that wasn't his. He said, well, you know, brother, how we are here. We are very poor. We live hand to mouth. So God will understand when we take what doesn't belong to us. And some pastors preach that rubbish because I was told that by a pastor. I come up poor. And if I was to take up 10 cents, belongs to my mom, blows 10 cents to buy a lollipop, one of those things. Mama, I just bought blows. You need parents like that today. There's no excuse for stealing. And poverty is no excuse. This is what people call situation ethics. There's a difference between temptation and willful sin. Paul wanted to know how the Thessalonians fared in their walk because of the circumstances they faced, to see if Satan had snatched the word from them. Remember the parable of the sower? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The heart is the innermost being of the person. So you and I will be tempted. We are tempted day by day. And the biggest temptation for some is the Lord's day. Am I going to give God his due? Or am I going to allow circumstances to have their way? Don't fool yourself. Satan is at work here in this church. And that's why you men, in my absence, must be on guard. I remember, no, let me leave that alone. He uses different means. He uses different agents. He uses different circumstances to bring temptation. Just as Paul was concerned, I am concerned. Another ploy the tempter uses to tempt Christians is secularism. Secularism. There's nothing wrong with being secular, in a sense. But many Christians are driven by secularism. Secularism is disguised today in what is commonly known as earthly needs. A good proof text to justify this fact in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. For all these things do the Gentiles, the nations, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When people are relocating, what is the first thing they seek first? It's a job. It's money. It's housing. It is not the kingdom. And you better don't try to correct them. Push you out of the way and trample you and go. The Lord said this. I remember, Charlie, you remember that time you wanted to curse, you was looking different. I'm going to bring it up because I could use it as an example, right? Charlie, you come to me, you know, Pastor, I can't come Sunday because I got to go and pick up this vehicle. You remember that, right? I said, what vehicle? Man, try and find yourself in church. Say yes, I told him that. He was misleading you. You listen, Charlie. Charlie is my friend. But how many here would listen? That's why I've got a deep love for you. How many here would listen to that counsel? I says, Charlie, leave that car. Guy wanted me to pick up a vehicle. And guess when he wanted me to pick up the vehicle by the depot? Of all the days today. I say, yeah, you would see me. But you will see me Monday. Secularism. What I'm talking about. The church of the Thessalonians were very heavily influenced. And you know this, by Greek culture. There were many gods that were flourishing. It was one of the chief cities of Macedonia. Secularism ruled. And that's why Paul could say in 1 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, for from you the word of God has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not have need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us the manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the true and living God. They turn from secularism to gods of the Thessalonians. It's another modified word for worldliness. It is sophisticated idolatry when we put the world ahead of God. We are tempted. I am tempted. You are tempted. Don't kid yourself. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Wherefore, dearly beloved, flee buying that car on Sunday. Know your Bible. That's all I can say. Don't depend on me to share everything. Satan uses the world, which is his domain, to entice the hymn you sang, the Lord's people. Jesus was told, all these things would I give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said, yeah, Deuteronomy 10:18. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only. What do you use? The scriptures. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There are two types of fornication, by the way. There's natural, physical fornication, and there's fornication with the world, spiritual fornication. And sometimes we major mostly on the physical fornication. But the spiritual fornication is when we play harlotry with the world. And that's the fornication that the Bible mostly speaks about. The fornication in the wilderness in Numbers was just a type of the fornication in the world. Actually, they were fornicating in the wilderness with strange flesh, lusting after strange flesh. You would not find informed Christians today falling down and worshiping Satan, but you will find many professing believers yielding to secularism over spiritual things. The advertising industry spend billions to capture our attention. Billions. Sometimes I just laugh. You know, why you think the Super Bowl, you have to pay so much million for 3 minutes? Because that's where the audience tunes in. And when is the Super Bowl? Can anybody remind me when it is? It is the eyes that pose great temptation to the soul. What do you think name now? CBC or whatever name. Eve saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that it was pleasant to the eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plains of Sodom was well watered. Abraham lifted up his eyes and see stars that he couldn't count. And God said, so shall your seed be. Abraham was looking spiritually. Abraham may not have literally looked up. Abraham looked to God. Secularism has weakened many of our people. Count the time given to the secular put that time against what is given to the Lord. Now, work and school are necessities, but some pleasures are not. They can be foregone. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. The gospel that many people hear in our church is not bearing fruit in our lives. No fruit. Because of secularism. Don't be like that. Put the Lord first. Notice the Savior and the lust in the parable, and the lust of other things entering, choke the word. Other things. To choke the word is to stifle the effect of the word, to kill the appetite for the word. I don't know if you are hungry for the word of God, like some people in Africa. Hungry, want to hear more of the word, want to hear it explained, want to know how to apply it, want to hear it, want to see it go, like Pastor Steve Hoffmeyer said, want to see the gospel run. As a matter of fact, if you were to look closely at the wording of 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3, it has a deep connection to the gospel message and what the Lord did for his people. Let's look back at the first three verses clearly. We see here, therefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Remember that there were three servants God used to plant the Thessalonian church. Why three? Why not two? Why not six? Well, this is not an accident. It is the triune God who establishes the church. But notice that Paul said, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy. Timothy was sent back to establish and comfort the brethren who were at Thessalonica. Brethren, our Lord went back to the right hand of the Father, but he didn't leave us comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit. That's what Timothy represents. To comfort us, to know us, to keep us from sinning. Well, how the Bible is crafted. You might just gloss over that. Not me. Lord has a message here for you and me. The church is started by the very God himself. The triune God. God the Father elect sinners. Christ the Son died for them. The Holy Spirit draws them. Keeps them, comfort them. If any man do not have the Spirit, he's not a Christian. And here we see how the chaff in our church is being separated from the wheat. But you labor on in spite of the tribulation. Holy Spirit guides us into truth. He helps us, Sister Jackie, in our afflictions. Some of us grumble. Every day, every Sunday, there's a seem to be a different pain some of us got. Are Christians tempted? By the tempter, Satan. He uses many means to attack the Christian faith. We have the scripture. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry. What other way Christians are tempted? By secularism. The things that capture our eyes, the emotions, the feelings. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shall thou serve. Apostle said, for this cause, when I could no longer endure, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Third, how else does this tempter tempt us? Third way, he attacks in temptation today by slander. Slander. When the world or the enemy cannot discourage the Lord's people because of faithful living, they will discourage them through slander. It's a tool. Apostle says in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, I hear that there are some walking about who are busybodies, slandering the brethren, busybodies in the church. Paul warned, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. We should apply that principle today. And this can be understood twofold. It was said of Jesus, we heard this man say that he will destroy this temple made with hands and build another one made without hands. Jesus never said that. He said he will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Slander. It was an attempt to slander the Lord's credibility. But the statement was true. Jesus destroyed the earthly temple and has built one without hands. It's true. It's an irony. It's a paradox. But he never said it. His critics said it. Was correct. Men of Babylon couldn't find any fault with Daniel. So they slandered him because he would not follow their gods. You and I will be slandered. I will be slandered. You probably hear a lot of things about me already right here. But you should watch, like what Carly was saying. Who are you taking up the phone and calling? If anybody say anything about me and you hear it, you need to put them in their place. You see how quick I act. If anybody say anything about any of you, I'll put them in their place. Slander. How are we to handle temptation? Well, the apostle said, when I couldn't endure, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But wonderfully, in the light of these words, we read in 1 Thessalonians 3:6-8 some encouraging words. Let's look at them. Verses 6-8 of chapter 3. But now, notice the switch. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Notice the mutual love. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Now we live, now we rejoice, now we go on, now we continue because of your faith. In other words, though Paul had this fear of laboring in vain, though the Thessalonians were under affliction, they never wilted under these attacks. They never wilted, they never bend. They expressed two graces that mark their commitment, faith and love. Notice that these are the same graces they were noted for in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, when the apostle said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. That's why they stayed. That's why they didn't wilt it. They were God's elect. They were God's people. You see, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are being called in this church. Many, but few are chosen. You and I should be ever making our calling an election sure. By measuring our temperature, by measuring our love for God and the church and the people of God, measure it. It is contingent upon this if you are saved. Measure it. Here the man of God, Paul, sent a brother. He sent a man, not a monkey or an angel. He sent a man. Yes, God used men. And the man came back. The reports of men are important, what they say about believers. They're credible. I tell the men yesterday, sometimes people leave the church and they want a recommendation. And to be honest with you, some people you don't want to say anything bad. I it's not my character to say anything bad about anyone. Well, Brother Presley, sometimes you just can't say anything at all. Brother Presley was a member at City View for 25 years, full stop. Pastor, pick up that and read it. If he's wise, wait a minute. Brother Presley was a bum. Would that be said of you or me? These people didn't wilt under pressure. Notice the encouragement. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you because of your faith. For we now live, if you continue to stand fast in the Lord. If you remain like this, the joy of brethren walking faithfully is always the satisfaction of a minister who labor among them. Paul showed anxiety about the walk of the Thessalonians. He sent Timothy to offer support. Timothy returned with comforting words. There is always a measure of anxiety. with the work in Zimbabwe. There is anxiety. Satan is busy. And as I said, he used secularism, money, to tempt people. This guy Chidamba sent me photos now and then to show me the pictures of the people. But when he go to a funeral on Sunday, he don't get no pictures, neither do I hear where he went. And his sidekick is covering his tracks. There's much to be anxious about. I don't take it lightly. Next week, by God's grace, Colin will be sending the budget money down there. You think that I like that? Well, I got news for you. To the view, we don't have a slough fund here to give away. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. We better wake up and look somewhere else. The joy of brethren walking in obedience brings delight to a servant of God. And I believe that text that says, Brother Othniel, obey them that have the rule over you, for they must give an account, that they may give it with joy and not with grief. I don't think that is in heaven. I think that's on earth. Because it is on earth, at times you have to give recommendation or account for people. And sometimes you do it with grief. There ain't going to be no grief in heaven. There's going to be all joy. Grief got to do with down here. And some people you give an account of down here, and you don't do it with any joy, you don't do it with grief. Timothy brought comforting words. Brethren, when we make missionary trips, it is not to sightsee. We have concerns. We are to pray that God would use his people in spite of the temptations, the pandemic, whatever else. The pandemic went on, and the panhandling continues, if you can read between the lines. Just as Paul echoed his concern for the Thessalonians, you should be concerned. But our Savior has a greater concern for his church. He has sent the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. He sends his servants to see our spiritual welfare. Let it be said of us what was said about these ones. We were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. May God bless you. Let's pray. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word tells us the truth about ourselves, about our ministry, and we beg, Lord, for much grace and much mercy. As our brother Bart would say, to press on. We pray for the faithful here that they would press on in light of so much unfaithfulness. Lord, we want to remember this hour, Brother Godfrey, who would have been here seated with us. We pray for this brother. We pray, O Lord, that you would guide him, that he would know of your grace and of your salvation. We thank you for bringing Miguel back safely. And we pray for Anula, that as she would travel back from the Dominican Republic, that you will guide the aircraft and that you will give her a smooth travel and a safe landing. We look forward, O God, to her presence with us once more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.